Let's go.
What?
Go.
I didn't hear you hit the button.
The mics are on.
You're so annoying. Hey, everybody. Nuts. This episode of Bad for Business is definitely not brought to you by Bree, who didn't even tell me the microphones are on. They are brought to you by our very long-time sponsor, MeUndies.com. Okay? And I'm at the point in my life now where my whole underwear rotation is almost all MeUndies. I have like two other underwear to get out of the rotation, and I am exclusively MeUndies all the time. We're going to help you out, guys. Support this podcast and help us out. If you go to MeUndies.com/B4B, you'll get 20% off your first order. That's right, 20% off your first order when you go to MeUndies.com/B4B. And right now, you'll even get free shipping in the U.S. and Canada. And support the Bad for Business podcast, because we are rocking the MeUndies all day. How you doing, Bree?
I'm good.
Great episode for everybody today. our first, yeah, I'm kind of giddy. I don't want to say I have a man crush, because I don't even like that term anymore. That term has become something weird. It used to be man crush was like your favorite athlete or one of your favorite players in whatever sport. Now, I think because of Twitter and how many times I'm going to blame things on social media, man crushes have been blown out of proportion. But anyway, this gentleman I met at the Entourage premiere, believe it or not, and I don't want to ruin a story that we talk about on the podcast in his interview, Wesley Matthews of the then Portland Trailblazers. We don't know where he's going to end up, and we'll talk about that more in a minute. But at the premiere, I spotted him, and he was in the middle of a conversation with Rudy Gay, and I sort of just walked over. I'm not going to tell you what they were talking about, because it comes out later in the episode, but I basically did the, and they've done this bit in movies before, where I kind of walked in with like a ha 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 ha, and just joined the conversation without being invited in, and it turns out they're both great guys. Ended up talking to Wes at the premiere a little bit, and I'm not very good at asking people I don't know all that well to come on the podcast, but him and I started texting, and I couldn't resist. And I had heard some interviews with him in the past, and I had Wesley Matthews on, and it's a great episode you guys are going to hear. Something that's not in the episode. It's a taped episode. We don't like to tell you guys when we tape them. We like them to feel live, but it's a taped episode, and it's only like 30 minutes, and the reason for that is we taped it on NBA draft day. So we taped, we finished, and then I had a couple of buddies come over, and we got to watch the NBA draft with Wesley Iron Man Matthews. Now, everybody likes to run teams from their living room, and everyone thinks they're a GM and knows what every team should do. Everyone thinks they're experts at identifying, you know, this player does this well, and here's what they need. I'm one of those guys. I do that. I know what the Knicks need. I know how to run that franchise. I wish they would hire me. It's very humbling to sit down and watch the draft with a current NBA player who is now a free agent and is going to be negotiating for millions upon millions of dollars. It was humbling. I don't want to give away what we talked about during the draft, because Wes and I have a budding new friendship going, and I don't want to infringe on that and make him feel like he can't be himself, like we're always on the record. Not that he said anything out of order, but yeah, we basically watched the draft with some friends, and I asked him about every player, and I said, what about this guy, what about this guy, and then he started messing with me, basically saying that, you know, what a great fit he would be on the Knicks. I did not ask Wesley Matthews where he's going. I didn't think it was right, because I don't know him all that well. Who knows if he even knows where he's going at this moment, but all I know as well is it seems really cool to be an NBA free agent. So we're taping this, and a lot can happen by the time this comes out, but LaMarcus Aldridge just met with the Lakers today. It seems like that's not going to work out. The Knicks and Phil Jackson, my team, who coming fresh off the drafting of Kristaps Porzingis, also known as Zinger, who is slowly winning my heart on Instagram. If you guys don't follow him, you should. He's pretty hilarious. The Knicks seem to be whiffing on everyone. And now I want them to sign Wesley Matthews. And I don't think they have a shot in hell at signing him. But he is, you know, he's a two-way guard that actually plays defense. And there's something else I want to talk about with Wesley. Unfortunately, Wesley, you know, right before the playoffs started, had a pretty significant injury. He tore his Achilles, which, you know, is a very tough injury to come back from. You know, Kobe Bryant dealt with it, and Kobe seems to be back, and players in the past have come back strong, some not so much. All I know is the surgery and the rehab has evolved so much, it doesn't seem like it's as difficult as it once was. And all I'll say is, obviously, I'm now rooting for Wesley Matthews, but also, I kind of believe in him. I believe that guy, from what I could gauge after spending one full day with him, is so driven and so focused and has that hunger and wants so bad to win and to be a big reason for the winning. So if I was a betting man, which I am, and if I could place a bet on what happens with Wesley Matthews from here on out, I predict he picks up right where he left off. And if anything, he's going to come back stronger because now he's got a little bit of a chip and he's got something to prove. Not to anyone in the NBA, I don't think. I think Wesley Matthews, from what I gathered in our interview, wants to prove more stuff to himself than to anybody else. So I'm betting on it. I didn't ask him about the injury, Bree, in the interview because I feel like that's what he always gets asked. And yeah. I know if, God forbid, I was in his situation, I don't think I would want to talk about it over and over. And even seeing just with like Kevin Connolly, who's not an athlete. I mean, he's athletic. Love you, Kev. I think he listens now. We finally got him on the podcast tip. You know, when he broke his leg, he got asked about it as an actor 100 times. And you could tell he got sick of it. So I could only imagine what Wes dealt with. So we didn't really chat about that, but I think he's going to be back and bigger than ever. It was really hard to not talk to him about my game, my pickup game and my skills. I don't know why. I just can't stop talking about it. It did come up a few times in the interview. What else we got to talk about? I think I would hang it all up to be a general manager for an organization. I might have an opportunity to intern with an organization. Really? I didn't tell you this. Yes. And this came via Doug Ellen, and it's through the NFL. I don't want to say what team, because if it doesn't happen, I don't want them to seem like...
You think I could take a wild guess?
No. All right, here's what I'll say. It's not the Giants.
Uh-huh.
All right?
That wasn't my guess.
Oh, well, that's my favorite team. But I might have a chance to intern in the front office of an NFL franchise. And Bree, I swear to you, if I got offered a job, I might take it. And if I could launch a career as a general manager of a sports organization, I think that's the greatest, I don't even know, reinvention of all time, wouldn't you say? Would you move with me to Charlotte to run the Hornets?
I like Charlotte.
Would you move with me to Milwaukee to help run the Bucks?
Honey,
it's close to Ohio.
I will go wherever you want
to
go.
Would you move to Orlando? Disneyland's right there. Disney yeah. World. To help run the Orlando Magic.
Look, as long as we can still do the podcast, I'm
I
there.
Don't know as a general manager if I'm allowed to do a podcast. So you know
well,
what?
Well, you won't be able to talk about sports.
Here's what we'll do.
You'll be able to do a podcast.
No, here's what we'll do, Bree. Here's what we'll do. I'm saying this right here, live, in tape, on the Bad for Business podcast. If I get offered a front office job by one of these sports organizations, I'm giving you the podcast.
No, don't do that.
I'm going to give you, it's going to be Bad for Business with Breanne Ray
Bad
Ricano.
For Business, go sour.
You could call it Good for Business, Girls for Business.
I think people would much rather hear you.
No. You're slowly the breakout star. Can we talk about something?
What?
And then I promise you guys, we're going to get to Wesley Matthews. It's a great interview. We love our Twitter, our Bad for Business Twitter. We have a very interactive audience, and I'm talking to you guys. We're interacting right now. I love you guys and girls. I feel like you guys love us. We have a great relationship. It's been great to this point. Bree gets a lot of compliments on the Twitter. A lot of people say, oh, Bree was so funny when she did this. And, oh, Bree was so cute when she did that. Oh, more pictures of Bree. Where's Bree? They love you. They love you. So we discussed... We were recently on a trip to Ohio. We discussed calling it officially the Bad for Business podcast with Jerry Ferrara and Breanne Ricano. And I feel like that was your idea.
Ricano.
You wouldn't go
Actually,
by Breanne?
I didn't say anything about that. I was just more so excited about the hashtag B4Bree. And then
did you start that?
No, somebody. Oh, we should shout him out. Somebody sent us a poem of like.
Oh yes, you sent me that poem. I put it on our
Instagram.
That's right. Our listeners make up poetry for us. That's how cool you guys are.
Yeah, I can't find his name, but he made a poem, and at the end he was like, B for B podcast, B for Brie, and it was, I don't know, I thought it was cute.
Well, I'm starting to feel the heat as though you want to be, and you've said it in past, now I'm talking about some personal stuff that you and I have talked, this is behind closed doors, so this might not be good for on the air, but you've said, I'm like officially your co-host now, wouldn't you say? True or false, did you say that?
Because you don't give me a choice. You'll be like, I'm going to do an episode by myself, and then I'll be sitting there doing the controls and the volume for you, and then you'll just be like, Brie, so, blah, 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 blah. You don't really give me a choice. You make me talk. But that's okay.
Well, you know what? It's all very fitting.
Soren Amstrup. I'm sure I butchered that name.
You probably did. He tweets at us a lot. I know. You want me to read it on the air?
Yeah, let's read it.
Would you like to read it?
No, you read it.
Wow. You know how you get... Look, this is the new way of telling people's age, the font size. Like, it's no longer like, hey, I'm Jerry, I'm 35. It's like, hey, I'm Jerry, I'm font size 190%. Because Brie just handed me her phone and I can't even... Wow. Okay. Here we go. This is a poem, a tribute to Bad for Business. B for B, B for Brie, B for Brooklyn. Since Ep 1, you had me hooked in Mama Ferrara was and is always a blast. Has unconditional support for you and Brie, now and in the past. Manny Petty with Anthony is a certain bucket list item. All that automotive expertise, gotta like them. Entourage brought me to B for B. You guys made me stay. Listening to your chats always make my day. The O'Connells, the camping ep, and the pickup hoops. Equal quality time and no work done. Oops. Visiting LA again in September, but no Nate and Al's. This time, no doubt, take me to Fat Sal's. We're making sandwiches over here, but don't you dare make B for B disappear. 2015, go Giants, go Browns. Hoping for more awesome play calls, even if Tom Brady again sucks balls. And they put air out of, but I don't want to say that to Brady. I don't want to bury Brady. Go ahead, shout this out on air. Make it right. Because Bad for Business was good for business tonight.
I love it.
Love from Denmark. Thanks for a great show. Now, I butchered Soren's poem. Butchered it. Meaning, I didn't read it probably with the proper cadence.
You did all right.
I did my best, but that was really cool. We love hearing from you guys. It's at B4B Podcast.
And next week is our year anniversary.
Well, that's where
I
was
going. Can you believe that?
What I was going to say.
1 year, baby.
Is
we made it.
For 1 year, do you want to change the name of the show to Bad for Business with Jerry Ferrara and Brie Ricano?
No, this is your show.
It's been 1 year.
I just work on it.
I will officially... agree with that promotion. Or Bad for Business Podcast with Brie Ricano and Jerry Ferrara.
You're going to put me first? No, I like it just how it is.
Okay. Well, yes, July... What is it, July 10th?
July 10th.
July 10th is
which falls on a Friday, so that
on
means...
On a Friday.
It's going up.
Do you have any plans for our one-year anniversary of the podcast?
Well, we were talking and we were thinking that maybe we would do... a trivia call-in episode. And sometime next week, I'll get a date out and a time out, figure out what time works the best for all the different time zones.
And what happens? Like, so they'll call in?
They'll call in. I think we'll do like 5 questions. And
let's do like an easy one. Like, what would be an example podcast question? Like, make it an easy one.
An easy one. In the camping episode...
Okay, you're ready.
What did
Wait, hold up. We did a camping episode? You already lost me. I'm already... Okay, go ahead. I'm kidding.
In the camping episode, what did Jerry overdose on?
That's actually a tough question. I mean, I know the answer, but that, like, if you didn't listen to the camping episode closely, you could have glossed over that one. I said the easy one. But that one's tough.
No, but that's... So questions like that and...
The correct answer is
whoever
bug spray.
Gets... We'll take the call until somebody gets the question right.
And what do they get if they win?
Well, we have some signed Entourage posters. We have some Fat Sal's hats. We have some B for B, like, merchandise. We could do, like...
We got some merch.
We can do some cups or... I don't know. Tweet at us. Let us know what you want.
We'll buy you stuff. We'll buy you gifts.
We'll buy you. But anyways... I think that'd be kind of fun for the listeners. And
yeah, that's a good 1 year anniversary. I think having the listeners,
we can look back. We can reflect back.
I think having the listen now, are we just opening up the phone lines or are we going to like select on social media who's eligible and give them like a time to call?
We're just going
to
open up the phone lines a certain time. When they call, I'll ask the question. I'm not going to put the questions up on Twitter because then you have time to research it. I want like... Right. On the spot.
So I
answers.
Guess what we're basically saying is keep an eye out on our social media pages. It's at B4B Podcast and or me. I'm just at Jerry Ferrara or at Brianne Ricano. Just to see when we don't want you to miss the time, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay.
Does that sound fun to you?
Fair enough. Happy early 1 year
podcast. Happy early 1 year.
Podversary. Are we calling it the Podversary?
Yeah, I like
or the
that.
Castversary.
Podversary. Cast. Oh, podcast.
Haha.
Bad for Business with Jerry Ferrar.
Also, next, coming up soon, probably just after Brett Ernst, one of my oldest friends in LA. If you're not familiar with him, Brett is a stand-up comic, absolutely brilliant. He's been doing it a long time. He was in the movie the Wild Wild West tour, which was a documentary that Vince Vaughn produced. Oop, they caught Biker Bitch. They got him. It was a documentary that Vince Vaughn produced about comedians. He picked three comedians, I think, and went on tour and basically followed them around on the tour bus and all that. He's been around for a while. His comedy is absolutely hilarious. Google him if you don't know. He's going to be joining the podcast. He's one of the first people I met 20 years ago when I moved to L.A. So don't That'll stay tuned fun. For Brett Ernst. And I think we've made everybody wait enough.
I think so.
Yeah, also it seems like we're going to be reunited with FanDuel as well.
Reunited,
we'll have more information. It's early as the summer goes on, but it seems like we're going to do for our sports guys and gals out there, we're going to do our FanDuel podcast again with a league on FanDuel. And we're going to start doing more. I need a sports episode, Bray. Like, I didn't want to talk just about sports because right now free agency is revolving like crazy, and we have Wesley's interview coming up.
Yeah, but Wesley's interview is more than sports. You guys?
Oh, it's
like,
way more.
It's
no,
personal.
When, that's why I'm saying what I want is I want to be able to do a sports episode and not offend all our non-sports listeners.
Well, we have the Bad for Sports channel.
Right, we do.
Which I'm, off the air conversation.
Okay, well, I might need to, I'm going to wait for some more free agents in the NBA to get signed. And basically before the dog days of summer truly kick in, I might just go on a world-class 60-minute sports / Knicks rant because I think I'm due. Okay, anything else, Bree, before we close up?
Let's close it.
All right, again, it's taped with Wes, so we didn't talk about any draft stuff. And we're going to talk more about our MeUndies loyal sponsorship, too. I have a plan for talking about those ads. all right, everybody, Wesley Matthews from the Portland Trail Blazers, but he's a free agent, coming up right now on the Bad for Business podcast.
Bad for Business. Coming out.
You think that's a good title?
The greatest I've ever seen in my whole brain. No, I mean my whole life.
Hi, it's Dan Patrick. It's time for another edition of Bad for Business Podcast with my buddy, Jerry Ferrar.
All right, everybody, it's time. I'm actually being joined for the first time, the first ever NBA player to come on this podcast. One of my favorite players, Wesley Matthews. How you doing, man?
I did not know I was one of your first. I was the first.
The first.
That's, you know what? I feel good about that.
You're the first player. You're the second athlete. But, okay. But here's the thing. You're also the first male athlete. The All first right. professional athlete before you was Ronda Rousey.
That's okay. I'll be second to her.
So you're following Ronda.
Okay, that's tough. It's tough shoes. Don't armbar me.
But as someone who's been in the armbar,
were you really in the armbar?
We were in. I like to call it the armbar resting position, because obviously she wasn't putting pressure, but even in...
But you could feel how it could come out.
Even in that resting phase, like with the littlest amount of torque, I guess you'd call it, she could have broke my arm at any moment.
She's awesome.
Now, for the audience listening, I met Wes at the Entourage premiere. You were at the Entourage premiere, right?
Great movie.
And I appreciate you coming. I hope you enjoyed it. But I saw, and we were talking off the air, just like one of the coolest parts of working on Entourage all those years is that it really struck something with professional athletes. And so I saw you, and I believe you were talking with Rudy Gay, no? Am I correct?
Yeah.
And this is the way I remember it. Tell me if I'm wrong. I kind of just butted in to your conversation. And were you talking to Rudy about dunking on him?
I did punch Rudy. Absolutely. Because we were talking about dunking, and you know that's more of his game than mine.
Right.
But I had to remind him that I did catch a body.
Now, this is in the pros you're talking about.
This is in the pros. He was in Memphis.
And you could pull this up on YouTube if you wanted to.
Yeah, you can definitely find it.
Well, because I remember, obviously, I clocked you guys walking in, and I was starting to hear it, and I walked over, and I literally just butted in. And do you remember what I said to you? It's all right if you don't. It was a long night. It was a long night.
It was a long night.
I said, hey, you know Wes, right? I dream. I have dreams. Oh, yeah. Like physical, real dreams.
Of dunking.
And I wake up, and I think I could actually do it for the first 2 minutes I'm awake.
How close are you?
The closest I ever was, probably like my senior year of high school, I think I was like 3 inches away from nipping the rim.
I thought you were going to say like 3 weeks ago.
What do you think, I'm Nate Robinson? I'm 5'7".
You could be springy. It could be spring.
But then you actually said something that was really interesting. You were like, it's kind of overrated.
It's overrated. I mean, it's 2 points. I prefer 3 points. I wouldn't mind a 4-pointer. But it's cool. It's definitely a feeling. But as you've done it for so long.
That's what I'm saying. It's coming from someone who's done. Like, how old were you when you were able to dunk?
Going into my eighth grade year. So summer going into eighth grade year.
So you just finished seventh.
Just finished seventh.
It's like July. You're what, fucking 11?
I'm probably
12.
12, yeah, 12, 13.
And how tall were you? You cracked six yet?
I wasn't 6 feet yet. No.
See, now you're making me feel bad because I'm just, like,
you know, hey, I got a good gene pool. You know, pops was an athlete, mom was an athlete.
My mom is 5'1".
See, mine's 5'9".
How bad is it? So, like, you were clowning a little bit with Rudy, telling him that you got him. Is it as bad as it seems? Because, like, as a fan of basketball, obviously, the dunk is so hyped, and getting dunked on is, as a fan, it looks like a worse nightmare. Like, is it the sort of thing where it's like, it's not that big of a deal?
Not anymore, because, you know, it gets like that because of all the social media vices that you have, the memes and the rewind and the vines and all that, and, you know, just how culture has changed. But it's a play. At the end of the day, it's 2 points. If it's an and one, it's three. You can get that any other way.
And I think Rudy said something, too. He would like to further your point. He was like, you know what? It hurts sometimes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if the rim isn't like anything soft.
All right, confession. So, and I'm not going to be the guy that tells you all about this pickup game like we got skills. Mm-hmm. We're a bunch of old, slow people. But, you know, the side rims are whatever, 8 feet. So we have like mess around dunk on. And I'm not going to lie, anytime I dunk on the side rim, I fucking hurt my hand. I think I actually broke my thumb one time. I wouldn't dunk, it hurts.
There's a technique to it. There's definitely a technique.
So is it more just like you throw it through and just so
you see a lot of you see a lot of people flush.
Yeah.
Yeah. You get in, get out. You're not trying to hang or anything like that. If people do hang on the rim, it's two hands.
But like the one-handed like banger, that's like a way to hurt yourself.
Like the thing that LeBron does, hard, like in Russ. Oh my God, that looks painful.
And they're just used to that. Their hands are probably just.
I mean, I'm sure they're hitting the ice tub after.
Oh man. Well, also, too, the random thing about that night when I met you, I had just, I'm a big fan of, you know, Bill Simmons and Grantland and all that stuff. I had just heard, and I think this is why I butted in on your conversation, because I just heard you on NBA After Dark on Grantland, like, that morning.
Yep, I was there
that day. Yeah, and that afternoon, I think I heard it, and then I saw you that night, and so I felt like I knew you. That's why I butted in.
I'm watching all the Entourages, I felt like you're my boy, too.
Well, we were talking about that off the air, too, and You were saying, like, all the people that you must have met during the show, and I told you, like, the best part for me is kind of meeting all the athletes because I'm such a sports fan, but what do you think it was about Entourage that athletes took to?
It was different.
Right.
There was really nothing like it, and as an athlete, you just think of, I mean, there was no real insight to the life of a movie star or, you know, and it's something that we could also relate to. You know, we've all come from humble beginnings. Most of us have come from humble beginnings, and we've got a crew or circle around me, the people that we trust no matter what. Where things are going right, things are going wrong, these are our people. So it was something that we could relate to, and it was cool to see it on the other side.
I mean, my least favorite question of all time is always like, do you really have an entourage? Because obviously that was like something to press when we're doing junkets. But like in your situation, I always said like entourage means two different things. There's like the MC Hammer entourage where he had, you know, 100 people on the payroll, people he didn't know. And then there's like the entourage like we tried to do it where it's really just a fancy word for like your boys.
It's your family, yeah.
Do you have that kind of infrastructure in your own life?
I do. I definitely do. And I think it's one of the biggest blessings in life is to be able to have a group of people that whether you hit the lotto or you hit rock bottom, they're with you no matter what. Their hands aren't out. They just want what's best for you because they know you inside and out. And, you know, I'm blessed to be able to say that I do have that.
Yeah, there's something about, you know, I don't necessarily have it, but for me, it's like, you know, because I moved out to L.A. from Brooklyn, and you met one of my friends who's from back home, too. It's just, there's something about, I guess because when you do reach any level of success, you know, whether it's acting or sports, you know, there's just a lot of people out there looking to kind of take you on a ride for something. Yeah, you know, it's hard to trust people.
Yeah, and it's crazy. It's because it's a real thing. You know, people hear about it, and if it's never happened to you, it's hard to really visualize. You're like, man, how did they get this? How did they do that? How did this person get tricked into that? It's not hard at all.
You know, and we don't have to get into it, but even hearing like, you know, a guy like Tim Duncan now publicly saying like he got took for $20 million, even though that doesn't necessarily affect him. I mean, it does affect him, but like you even think like some, like Tim Duncan's a smart guy. Like how does that even happen?
And to wrong Tim Duncan, I mean,
that's just wrong, by the way. Man. Yeah.
Like, he doesn't do anything to anybody but go to work every single day and get rings.
Now, where are you? You were born and raised where?
I was born in San Antonio.
San Antonio?
Raised in Madison, Wisconsin.
So who'd you grow up rooting for then? You weren't a Bucks fan, were you?
I wasn't a Bucks fan, no. I was a Laker fan.
That right.
I was a Laker fan.
Was it the player that drew you to the Lakers?
Well, my dad used to play for the Lakers a while back. And so I just never...
Just took to it.
Yeah, I just took to it. And then, of course, I was a Bulls fan. I was Jordan. And but then I jumped back on the Laker bandwagon with Kobe. And Eddie Jones was actually my favorite player.
Remember? I was going to ask you, who was your guy?
Eddie Jones was actually my favorite player.
Such a good player, too. You know what?
He's underrated.
Yeah, and your games are very different, but Eddie Jones, I think, was the first player that people started using the term like two-way player.
Yes, he was.
I don't think many people either said good defender.
Like that utility guy.
That's the first time you ever heard two-way player. I feel like Eddie Jones is one of the original, obviously Pippen too, but one of the original, like, oh, he's a two-way player. Exactly. They didn't use that term much when I was growing up.
There wasn't really much of it.
No.
You know, Jordan, obviously, but there wasn't really much of it. You got, you know, great defense, or you got great offense, you know, solid player. But as far as above and beyond two-way player, like, he does everything.
Have you ever, and I could tell, obviously, you, not only do you love playing the game, but I feel like even if you weren't a pro, you'd still love watching the game even. Like, did you, you know, because I'm a little older than you, I grew up watching a lot of the early to mid-90s and, like, seeing, like, some of the playoff games. Like, have you recently gone back and seen any of the footage of, like, some of those Bulls, Knicks war, like the physicalness I mean, it actually seemed criminal, the stuff they were doing to Scottie Pippen.
It was awesome.
Oakley and Mason, rest his soul, should have been locked up for some of the shit they were doing.
You know what? That it was, they were just playing the Bad Boys recently. They were just playing
Boys. I caught it
and
again.
I've seen it probably like 9-10 times, but I can't help it. I'm watching it and I'm like, damn, they are beating Pippen's ass. Over and over and over. And, you know, it's just get up, shoot your two free throws. Or don't shoot free throws. It may be nothing. And it was definitely a different game back then.
I mean, I actually prefer the version now. I'm a big fan of... I mean, I still love defense, obviously. But I just prefer the way the game is now. It just feels smoother. But you know what else I've been kind of obsessed with? I always wanted to talk to a professional about it. It's like, we just did this whole press tour thing for Entourage where we were everywhere. We were literally in New York, We did the TNT show for the Cavs game in the semifinals. From there, we went to Seattle and screened it for the Seahawks and Russell Wilson all over the place. Like, for a moment, it kind of felt like some kind of rock band or like a athlete.
Right.
And I always wonder, because I don't do good traveling like that. And, you know, I try to stay in my version of good shape, and I try to sleep well. I'm getting older. I try to take care of myself, and I feel like it's impossible.
You're like 32.
35, going on 36. I like. By the way, if I set you up to tell you I'm old, maybe your expectations are low, I'm going to surprise you then.
Okay, true.
That's what I do. I love complaining about being old. I've been doing it, by the way, since I was like 24.
Right.
Talk about how old. Like, are you just so used to, is traveling like that in hotel rooms and being on the road such a part of your life that it's just like second nature to you? Or like, did you at some point kind of make a game plan of like, this is how you tackle those long road trips and not sleeping in your own bed?
You know, you kind of get on waves of it. Like, right. your first 2 years, well, your first year, first and second year, you're just excited. You know, you're excited to be in the NBA. You're excited to probably go into cities that you've never been to. And so it's just kind of, you don't have time to really come to grips with, I'm hopping on the plane, hopping on the bus, hopping off the bus, hopping in the hotel, leaving the hotel, going back to the bus. But as you go along, you're like, you're looking at the schedule and you're like, damn, we got the Knicks, Nets, Philly, OKC, back home. You're like, okay, that's 5 hours. Go down another two to go back four. You're like, shit.
What are those flights like? Because when we had a stretch where we landed in New York, we did shit, then we had to like drive up to Connecticut because we went to Bristol to do some ESPN shit. Came back to New York, flew to Ohio for the game, and then came back. And I'm talking, by the time we were coming back to New York, everyone on the plane, all four entourage, it was naptourage, man. We were out cold. So when you get on the plane, a dude's just out.
Depends on the flight. So let's say we're leaving Portland. We're going to, say we're making an East Coast trip. So we leave early. We leave real early. And people are out.
Right. Just knocked out.
People are out. I'm up the whole time. It was always.
You don't sleep on planes? No, or just, you just.
I can't sleep on planes.
Me neither. That's my problem. It's hard for me to even get 30 minutes of sleep.
Yeah. So me, Darrell Wright, we'll just be up chilling. I would make Myers come over and sit by us. I would throw stuff at Alan Crabb. whenever he tried to go to sleep, I would throw stuff at him. But people would just sporadically wake up, eat, fall back asleep, wake back up. So, but like on shoulder trips, like if we go to LA, everybody's up.
Everyone's awake.
Everybody's up.
Trying to make sure our sound is getting recorded. Oh, look, see, I'm actually, for those of you listening, I'm running the equipment. Bree's not here today. It actually looks like it's working. Oh, speak of the devil.
Hi.
Bree, my girl, Wes.
Hi.
Bree.
How are you doing? Nice
Bree,
to meet you.
Sorry,
are we okay on these mics?
I don't know. Let me see.
Yeah, what's it looking
like? How does
like?
That look?
It looks good.
Did I mess it up?
Turn,
was he supposed to be on this mic?
No, you're fine. Keep going.
Am I interrupting? No, you're not interrupting. It's working though, right?
Yeah.
So I don't even need her
there
anymore.
You go. Like, right?
I'm gonna let you two be.
No, we're almost done. Okay. Don't look at your phone.
Yeah, don't do that.
With no phone rule.
Okay. Zero phones.
I gotta go.
Did you look at your phone?
No, I gotta go.
You
she
know
made
something.
A face.
Oh. She knows something.
And she's a sports fan, so like she
definitely
like,
knows something.
She knows names. All right. Also something we talked about. I'm all over the place. Something else we talked about, the premiere. Because I didn't even know you were here until I heard the Grantland thing. First off, how are you liking L.A.? I know you said on Grantland, you know, traffic and all that. Initially, you were afraid, but you're kind of settling in.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts as you're kind of finishing your kind of workout?
I had my reservations about it, you know, because I came into it and I thought I knew what L.A. was like. You know, I thought it was busy and flashy and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, being out where I am, you don't really need to. As long as you get the traffic patterns down,
that's it.
You know, you don't need anything else. It's like, okay, I know. Okay, what time is it? 4:30. Yeah, I'm gonna stay in the house right now.
And you, Wisconsin's home for you still. Like,
yeah,
now, have you been here in the? I mean, you've obviously been here for games and stuff, but man, the LA in January.
It's
the nicest place on the. What's Portland like in January?
Wet.
Yeah.
Cold.
That's probably the best part. Like, even like. My boy Gerard, who's here, he came and visited back in January, and he's from New York, and he could not believe that people are just swimming and people go nuts for the weather out here.
Oh yeah. I mean, we had a game in January, I think, in Phoenix.
Even it's, better weather,
we're,
probably.
Yeah, we're playing the Suns and we're going outside. We're just like, are you kidding me right now? Like, really? This is life for some people.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break and read some ads. And when we come back, Wes, we're going to talk some video games, all right? But I do have to read some ads. And it actually is an honor to read this ad to you. And I'll tell you why it's an honor after I do the read. But we're going to talk to you about MeUndies. You know that feeling of putting on that old, ratty, saggy underwear? Come on, you guys know that feeling. Well, I want you to know the feeling of wearing great-fitting, great-looking underwear, okay? But here's the thing. They also make you look great. Go to MeUndies.com and check out the pics of all the different styles and underwear. And even for the girls, they have those boy shorts, which I guess is something that girls wear. Too bad Bree's not here to tell us more about that. Men and women, high quality materials for your high quality materials, if you know what I mean. All right, here, I'm going to help you out. If you go to MeUndies.com/B4B right now, you'll get 20% off your first order. Right now, you'll even get free shipping to the U.S. and Canada as well. They guarantee you're going to be happy. And trust me, once you feel MeUndies on your body, you're never going back. The reason why I said it was an honor is because MeUndies, and we have our one-year anniversary coming up soon for this podcast, and MeUndies has basically been on since we were about a month or two in and have always been a constant supporter of this podcast. And I want to thank you, the listeners, who have purchased MeUndies with the B4B / because you're supporting this podcast, so it helps us deliver these episodes to you in a timely manner. And props to MeUndies for supporting the podcast game. It really is a cool thing to see a company like that, you know, throw some money at these small podcasts and hope to develop a business relationship. So this is more of an ad / thank you to MeUndies.com/B4B. All right, Wes. Sorry about that, Wes. We were talking at the premiere. You said you're into Call of Duty. Yeah. Are you a gamer by trade, or like was that just something you got into games recently because you were laid up for a little bit, or you always been a gamer?
I've always played games.
And how far back do you go with Call of Duty? Like, I go back to the original Modern Warfare, which was probably, we're talking, that's like 2008.
Yeah.
You go back to there?
Yeah.
That Golden Cross, you prestiged, got the Golden Cross.
See, I didn't do much of the online stuff.
Oh, you said you're a zombies guy, right?
I'm definitely zombies now, but
that was World at War. The first time I ever played zombies scared the shit out of me. I was playing at like midnight.
You know what? If one catches you out of your peripheral, it'll get you. Hold on, wait a minute, man.
Do you play 2K?
Yeah, I play it.
Now, that's something I always dreamed of one day, being in a video game. I never had that honor, so I'm jealous that you've gotten to experience that. For the most part, do you really care how they depict you in the game? Or absolutely. You're kind of just like, it's a game, I don't give a shit.
I get mad.
You care?
I care. I don't feel like my post-up ability is where it needs to be.
Was there ever a year where you thought they got it right? Or just all in all, you've always felt
it's gotten
kind of
it's gotten better every single year. So I was excited about that, but this Achilles injury better not change what my rating is supposed to be, because I'm about to be a killer.
I started following you on Instagram a few weeks ago. I saw a video you posted, you getting some shots. Of course you were shooting some threes.
Soon, got to.
You love the three.
I want a four-pointer. I am so serious. I want a four-pointer.
So in my pickup game, bear with me, I'm going to do it once. I said I wasn't going to do it. I'm going to do it once. And I would love you to come judge me and break down how terrible my game is, right? So I'm the dude that gets there early because I need to stretch and all that shit. And I always try. I'm always working on... What's that?
You got a foam roller?
Oh, yeah. There's one, right? I mean...
Okay.
I got foam roller in every room, dude. You need one later? We got every room. I'm the equipment guy. That's me. You need tape. You need bandage. You need a wristband, headband. What do you need? I'm the equipment. I got a pump for the ball. I got three different balls. I'm the equipment dude. So I always go early to shoot around, and I always pick one thing to work on in my shoot around that's new, that I don't think I do well, that I'm going to try to do. I never do it. Never happens. But on a real level for adult professionals, you know, when you're in your off season, is it the sort of thing where you say, all right, this season I'm going to years ago, like, I'm just going to shoot threes. I want to, you know, work on that three. Or you just play and, like, your game goes wherever it goes? Or do you work on, like, one specific thing a year?
You know what? I was never a three-point shooter. So, you know, who I am as a three-point shooter now, a lot of it is because of Jeff Hornacek in my rookie year in Utah. Because Sloan would put me in the game.
Right.
Because of defense and energy and running the floor and everything. But, you know, people didn't know me. You know, I'm playing against the Lakers. Kobe's guarding me. He's standing in the paint, helping on D-Will and Booze and those guys.
And you're just out there.
Yeah, and because they're like, go ahead, shoot the ball.
Right.
So, you know, Sloan would take me out the game. I don't like coming out the game. So Jeff's
I don't
like,
imagine you do.
So Jeff's like, you gotta be a threat on both ends. So every morning, we're in there shooting hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of threes. I never beat him.
Never. He's still automatic,
oh,
right?
My God. I never beat him. So that just became part of my thing, and it just became a confidence. So I'd much rather go to the basket.
Right. That's your instinct.
I'd much rather go to the basket. I'd much rather post up. But the three is just it's almost like it's easy for me. And sometimes I get caught up doing that, just casting them up.
Right.
I'm like, do what you want to do. Go down there. But as far as the workout stuff, I watch a lot of basketball.
I was going to ask you that too. Are you not necessarily like a film guy, but like,
I'm a student.
Even like, when you're not playing,
I'm watching it. You know, I'm watching Kobe. I'm watching Joe Johnson. I'm watching Paul Pierce. I'm watching how they operate and how they operate in space with little lift and getting their shots off and stuff like that. Because, you know, I'm not going to go be Andrew Wiggins at any point. You know, I'm a good athlete, but I'm not gonna try to put anybody in the rim unless I'm really, really mad. You know? Or I'm really, really motivated that night to go put someone in the basket. I'll try.
I love that.
But other than that, you know, I'm gonna pick you apart all over the court. And so, you know, I'm looking at, how the hell did Kobe get to that spot? You know, how did Joe Johnson get to that spot? How did Paul Pierce, as good as he is, but as slow as he is, get by him for a layup?
I swear to God,
you know,
there's
so that's the kind of stuff I'm trying to, I'm like, okay, Wesley, you can add that. You can do that.
I there's times I don't know how Paul Pierce gets a shot off, let alone make it at a high percentage, but he does. Like, yeah. Even in the playoffs, like, that game winner, where we say gate, like,
no
it just
way.
Didn't look like it.
Come on, man.
I didn't look like he was going to get it off in time.
Exactly.
And then, yeah, and he obviously has been tormenting me because I'm a Knicks fan for years. So, like, do you even watch, like, the footwork of guys like this? Because that's what I always... a buddy of mine, we always, like, when we watch, we'll literally go back and rewind and, like, just watch some of the guys, like, you, even the guys you mentioned, like a Joe Johnson, just like the footwork is.
Yeah.
And that's what separates.
Yeah, a lot of it's footwork and it's doing your work early. You know, like Kobe, you know, he's got counters for his third counter.
Right.
You know, it's like...
He's got plan A, B, C, D.
Yeah, he's got a plan A, B, C, D, E, F. He's got the whole alphabet, but it's all about being able to get to and knowing what you have. You know, and all that comes with your reps and your being able to say, okay, you cut this off, I can spin back this way if I want to. You know, and you know, just watching all that.
Do you love guarding him?
Yeah.
It's like, or are you kind of like, man, I gotta fucking guard Kobe today.
No, I
you don't
love
seem
it.
Like that kind of guy.
No, I love it. You know, and he put me in a blender my rookie year.
Is that right? I was gonna ask you, like, who gave you your first like NBA ass whipping on the court?
It was two
Everyone's
guys.
Gotten one
right,
at some
everybody.
Point.
It was two guys and to this day, you know, until they retire, I'm going to go at them.
You
every
owe him
single
one.
Time.
You owe him
I'm
one.
Go at, and one of them, he was the first guy to hit me up when I tore my Achilles, which was Kobe. You know, much respect to
yeah,
him.
Yeah, for
and,
sure.
And everything.
I like old Kobe. I don't mean old man Kobe. Like, I obviously loved watching young Kobe play, but something kind of happened after he got his rings and all that where his filter just went away and he just was so damn honest.
Yeah.
In every interview and transparent and like,
it
I just.
Didn't matter anymore.
Didn't, that's what it's I mean. Like
you
it
know
was
what? I don't have
refreshing.
Just, this is who I am.
Right.
This is what I'm going to be.
Take it or leave
and
it.
And I'm a winner. And you can't take that from me.
So he hit you up?
He hit me up.
That must have meant a lot.
Yeah, it did. And so he's one person that I feel like the best way to pay respect is to go at his head every single time.
Oh, yeah. He'd probably lose respect for you if you
exactly,
didn't.
Exactly. If you shy away. And then Joe Johnson, he put me under the basket so hard because I thought I was strong.
Yeah.
You know, I'm strong now. I thought I was strong coming into the NBA. And Coach Sloan, he doesn't double team guards on the post. It's like you.
One on one. Get it done.
So I'm like, all right, cool. I seen Joe on TV. I'm watching him. One, two, three. Layup. I'm like, the ball is coming underneath the net, and I'm underneath, and I gotta catch it. I'm like, bro, where is the help?
Unbelievable. So quiet Joe Johnson.
Quiet,
huh?
Joe Johnson. There's nothing quiet about his game, though.
Another thing, we actually did this on our on the podcast. We did like a segment where, and you said, you and I were texting, you said you'll never shy away from like a pickup game or something like that. And I respect the hell out of you for that. But I feel like you could tell in pickup, you could tell a lot by a man's character with how he plays pickup. Like there's like certain kind of dudes, right? Like the dude who comes in and he's got like kind of like me, like not as bad as this, but he's got all the gears. He got the dope shoes. He's got the high socks. He got the wristband. And like he's dribbling maybe too many times through his leg. Like that dude's the guy who like he wants like the sparklers in the club when his bottle comes out. You know, does the same thing. Like, can you tell in the pros personality traits by the way dudes play? Like, do you think it translates, or are you just a separate? Like, is there like Wes the man and Wes the ball player, like different? I know it's a weird question.
But not really. I understand what you're talking about. There's really three types. You know, some people are the same person who they are on and off the court.
Right.
You know, and some people are completely different. But it's some you can tell. Some you can tell. It's like, okay, yeah, that's your personality. That's your personality on the court.
If I catch you cheating in a pickup game, I've like ended friendships. Like, there's no bigger offense. Yeah, like, I get you.
Like,
what,
like the
win.
Ball's out
like,
on
yeah,
you?
Like, you just don't I mean, but it, fucking lie. I don't do anything
though.
To win.
It's different on the court, though. It's different on the court.
Oh, man.
Like, there's no way I'm telling on myself if the ball hit off of me.
Agreed, but, like, also, too, like, if you're on the sidelines, if you're waiting for next, meaning if you lost, and then you're going to make a call.
That's not your say.
That's the, I have a problem with anger on the court. I don't know what it is.
You're supposed to. You're competitive.
I've had friends on where, like, I've said something so mean to one of my friends during a pickup game. And he's, like, a good friend of mine. Right. And I was a heavy kid. I was a heavy adult. I was fat. So I called him, and I, like, made a weight joke on him. Like, that's, just, like, something you don't do. Like, that's, like, it's like a former drug addict calling another drug addict, like, a crackhead. Like, if you don't do that. Like, I know what the struggle is. And I went right after his weight. I don't even know who I am in the game. I said, yeah, you didn't bump me with that fat fucking ass, right? You trying to tell me you didn't foul me, you fat fuck? And I literally, after
you
the game,
you were tripping.
I was telling my other friend, I'm like, I've never called anybody fat in my life. Like, I don't know where that came
from. The nerve of me to say that.
I actually had to get, like, therapy on here with him. All right, we're going to wrap up. Can I do something with you? Because we were talking about NBA 2K.
Let's do it.
I want to, I pulled your attributes because this was what would matter to me if I was a professional athlete. And I looked through the individual attributes leading to my rating.
Uh-huh.
I just want to see.
Let's look at them.
And, you know, I'm not trying to fire you up because
I mean, it's probably going to happen.
We don't have to.
No, let's do it though.
Okay. Because, by the way, you're also, you know how I judge who my favorite players are in the NBA. If I look at you playing, I go, fuck, I wish the Knicks had him. That's how I know you're ever. Like, there's some players who are good, but I'm like, I don't care if, like, the Knicks ever got him. But you were one of the dudes a few years ago when I really started, like, watching all the games. I'm like, why can't the Knicks get somebody like Wesley Matthews, man?
And, I appreciate that.
We do something in NBA 2K. Me and my boy, we always do a fantasy draft.
Yeah.
And then we play, like, best of five.
Oh, you draft.
We draft old players, new players. Like, I'll go you, Pippen. I put you and Pippen in the same lineup.
I bet it was hard to score.
You know who you gel?
I bet it was hard to score on.
Oh, my God. Oh, and I even think I had Kawhi. I think I had you, Pippen. I put Kawhi at four. And it was like, good luck bringing the ball up.
That's real hard to score on us.
All right. First and foremost, okay? I ain't going to tell you what the overall is. But I'll try and, like, leave some of them out. They got your standing, like, basically, like, your spot-up standing three. And this is out of 100, obviously, 1 to 100. They got you at 80. And I don't know, that obviously doesn't mean 80%, so that's you're 80 out of 100. And you're, like, standing, like, catch and shoot.
See, that's okay.
A little low.
A little low, I feel.
A little low. You're three on the move, 72. That's, like, I guess that's, like, off the dribble.
I don't necessarily agree with that one.
Low.
Yes.
See, I agree with you on that. Free throw. What?
I was down. I was down on the free throw. So whatever they got for the free throw,
they got
throw,
you at
I'll
like 74.
That's all right. I was low. I had a terrible free throw shooting year. I'm usually at 80.
Now, is that, do you think, is a free throw is kind of like they talk about like putting in golf? Is that just like a mental thing?
It's a mental thing.
That's it. Cause you've probably shot a million free throws in your life.
No telling. It was a mental thing. I had a terrible stretch in the to start. I started being who I was, but I was so bad.
Do you actually lose like confidence where you're like, fuck, I don't foul me?
Yeah, I mean, it gets to the point where you're just like, you're really, really hoping for that and one.
Go in. Get in there.
Damn.
Okay, let's go with your driving layup, which I guess is just to the bucket without dunking, 75.
I'll take that.
All right. Standing dunk, which I'm not even going to read. That's like your life. That's like some Dwight Howard.
Yeah, I mean, how many people do that anyway? It doesn't even happen.
Your driving dunk. I guess this is your throw it on Rudy Gay percentage number, 70.
I'll take that.
That's good. Passing accuracy. 80.
I make sound plays.
Like you're good. That's what I'm saying.
I make sound plays. You know, I'm not going to Steph Curry throw a left hand behind the back.
Do you want to know the number I was most offended with?
Let's do it.
Hands. Because I feel like you got good hands. 74.
That's ridiculous.
I feel like that's like 74 to me. Like if I was thinking of a play, I don't want to like call any other players out. It's not what I'm about because I don't do that. But like, I feel like you're at least an 84 in hands. At least.
So hands, is that like stealing
that's
and all that?
That's just like, yes. Like, I think that's a combination of everything. That's stealing, that's dribbling.
Yeah, that's upsetting.
I think that's a bunch of garbage. They got your stealing at 70.
See, that's the, you know what? And I'm more upset with the hands than I am the stealing. We were the lowest steals team in the league.
Why do you think something like that happened? That just the way the number shakes out.
That wasn't our philosophy. You know, right. We were sound defense, make you take tough shots. So
get the tough shot, box out, you have good rebounders.
I mean, I could be a top three in the league in steals, but I would be putting my team at risk.
Right, because you'd be gambling a lot more.
Yeah, so I'm not about that. But what I do well, and I think better than anybody, is I make you really, really, really uncomfortable when you had the ball in your hand.
Yeah, I mean... I have to say, even like, I don't know if you watched all, you probably watched all the finals. I was gone. I was in Europe.
Yeah.
But I only watched, I think it was like game two or whatever. And because Kyrie got hurt in game one. And like Dellavedova in game two, bringing the ball up, and like Curry and Clay were kind of like hedging him a little bit on the way, just made him so uncomfortable. You could tell he was like, man.
Like, I can't imagine there's many people that are excited when I line up against them.
Here is some of the numbers. I mean, I don't know how you're going to feel. Hustle, they got you at 86.
That's
got
to be like 99.
That's the perfect number. So you say you're the perfect. I agree.
There's not a, yeah.
Quickness, 85.
I'll take that.
All right. Your vertical, 75.
Don't agree with that.
More.
Yeah.
See,
I'm a lot more athletic than I show on the court. I'm a lot more athletic than I show on the court.
But, you know, sometimes your game doesn't necessarily.
It doesn't call for it.
Right. All right, let me see if there's anything else we... All right, here's what I like. Your stamina, 99.
We're going.
That means Wes don't get tired.
Not getting tired, but that's part of the hustle.
Yeah, see, there's an inconsistency in the number.
They go hand in hand.
Well, the reason why I'm bringing this up, too, is because I'm trying to work on a deal with 2K to do a podcast and, like, do a draft with, like, guys like you, like, take a day, we'll, like, draft a team and play, and, like, people, like, GM your team, like, all in good fun, and, like... I'm going to tell the higher-ups over there, you need to do right by Wesley Matthews because these numbers ain't right.
And I'm in there. And I'm in there with you. As soon as you get that going, I will be out here.
I don't see. I can't reach strength because I don't even want to make you mad. That's going to make you mad. We'll leave it.
It's going to make me mad.
Because I don't buy that you're 55 strength.
That's unbelievable.
That's some bullshit.
I'm done.
That's it. We're going to walk off this podcast, man. I can't thank you enough for doing this. I don't want to take up too much of your time.
Appreciate you, man.
I will continue to say, why can't the Knicks have somebody like you? But that's what I say about almost every player because we're looking so bad. But best of luck. Keep working on it. Honestly, been a fan of yours for a long time. So getting to meet you, I'm an even bigger fan of Wesley the person than Wesley the player. So thank you for doing this.
I appreciate you, man. Thank you.
All right. Wesley Matthews, everybody. When you see me rolling by, you know that I'll be high.
business.